And another famous Maroons victory, and Queenslander, Fox League star, Yvonne Sampson. Oh, this is going to be painful. Morning, Vonnie. How are you? You are never painful, Vonnie.
What an introduction.
Yeah.
Great to have you, Vonnie.
Yeah, awesome to have you, Vonster.
What about the Vonnie? Groan? I've never had such a... You know, when you walk into a room, that's the last thing you want. People to go, oh, here she is.
Well, you should see our text line this morning, Vonnie. Teddy's finished. Cleary's not good enough at this level. Freddie, well, Freddie's gone. Who have I missed? Oh, Turbo, nowhere near good enough. I mean, they're all the stars gone, according to our listeners, or a lot of our listeners this morning. Some, a few are sticking solid.
Bring in six more Panthers. Because it's not Penrith versus Queensland as it is.
The post-mortem is as brutal as it's ever been.
Yeah, the bloodletting has started. And you know what? It really started right on that final siren for New South Wales. Questions over Freddie's selection. How was he using Nicho Hynes? Why was Tevita Pangai there? He had those risky moments. Is he going to be there for game two? And of course, when Freddie says things like he was pretty shell-shocked that the Blues, how they didn't handle those opening exchanges. Queensland jumped out to lead 10-0. And then for Freddie to say, yeah, it was disorganised in attack. And people are saying, why? Why is that? We've gone with the club connections. We've done everything right. We've got the Roosters, Blues and Kangaroos captain, world's best player, James Tedesco at fullback. Why is it clunky? Api Korosau won two premierships with the Panthers. Why is it not working? And then, of course, the crosshairs turned directly to the six and the seven and the nine and the one. And then, of course, eventually the crosshairs are going to turn to Freddie. So I loved what he said in his post-match press conference, that absolutely nothing is impossible, because it does feel like Mission Impossible now with Queensland 1-0 up in this series. Game two heading to the Cauldron at Suncorp Stadium. You know what they say about Queensland? Beautiful one day, rank State of Origin fans are next, and it's going to be berserk up there if they wrap up that series. And then you want to talk about bloodletting and fallout. If Queensland win game two and that's it for the State of Origin, that's all done. The question then is over Brad Fittler. Does he remain a State of Origin coach? So, yeah, plenty to play out. And I totally understand why people are up in arms about it.
Well, one thing I do know about Origin, Vonnie, and the reason it survived so long is nothing is certain. There's no such thing as a certainty. So I can understand the frustration of people that support New South Wales this morning, but I think we need to just calm down, wait to see what happens in game two, because I still believe that New South Wales can get it right and then bring it back to Sydney for a third game. I know we want instant justification about a result, and we want to know what happened, and we need to find out what happened. But I certainly wouldn't be making mass changes, and I wouldn't be sort of over-analysing and sitting there and being down in the dump saying we can't win, because I think New South Wales, you throw Latrell back into it. Pup spoke this morning about, Tedesco. He'd be feeling as bad as anyone being the leader, knowing that he has to step up a lot more in game two. These people, they've got a lot of pride with their performance, and they'd be shattered after last night's game. They'd be waking up this morning disappointed, hearing all the negative noise around, hoping that they get a chance to go up there and prove to people that they can play at this level and win at this level. So I'm never prepared to write New South Wales off regardless of where they play.
I think the other thing, Vonnie, as well, is I think a sportsman or sportswoman's mindset at the highest level, I think you don't mind being booted when you deserve a boot. So right now, this New South Wales squad deserve the criticism.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean flick them. I think just the smack sometimes, just the realisation we weren't at our best, individually looking in the mirror going, shit, I let the team down, I underperformed, I made an error here, under pressure, I didn't make the right decision. Whatever that is, that you can take. But what you do want, what you crave, is the opportunity under more pressure, under more doubt, with more people hating you, to prove people wrong or to play the brand of sport that you know you can play. And someone like Tedesco, who has done it day in, day out over a long period of time, He will feel it like anyone else, but don't rip it up and throw him out. Give him a crack now to show how great a player he is. I think that's what this New South Wales team need. Yep, they underperformed. Got it. Give them, they're more pressure now going to Queensland. More expectation. Give them that chance.
It's 100%. I completely agree with you. It is 100% set up for a major redemption story. And that is going to be the narrative of this State of Origin. And State of Origin is built off the impossible moments. Those wins, those champions that stepped up when against all odds, they had no right to be there, no right to score it, the miracle try, all of that. That is what we have celebrated and tuned in for since 1980. So I think the Blues can definitely, and imagine what kind of result that's going to be and victory that will be if the Blues go to Brisbane, beat Queensland on their own home soil and then bring the decider back to Sydney. So, I mean, then let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The Blues were in front with 7 minutes to go. And not only that, James Tedesco was held up over the line. So, look, the Blues had a couple of stupid penalties right off the bat. And so then Munster popped that really nice kick through for Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. And then Selwyn Cobbo secured the second. All of a sudden, Queensland are out 10-0. Tedesco was held up over the line. Tyson Frizzell was denied what I thought was a try. I just don't know how you could positively say that there was no bit of grass on that ball. I know it went up as a no try, so they had to stick with that. But Murray Tuolungi, like, if it wasn't for his defensive efforts, Blues would have been back in that game much, much earlier. Fifita left with an HIA. Then Liam Martin just splits Queensland defence beautifully. I think it was in between Val and DCE. So then they were back within four. And then out of nowhere, Holmes tries this really clumsy offload, and then Appy Korosau pinched a try. And then it's game on. But then the last 7 minutes, and Freddie mentioned this in his post-match press conference, they're going to have to go back forensically and look where all this fell apart, because they just mishandled that so poorly. Queensland had no right to do that with one in the sin bin, no wingers, stocks dwindling out, players out of position. All of a sudden, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, just off Munster, who turns up when the opposition least wants him to. Like, where do you least want me to pop up? That's where he is. He's unbelievable like that. He's such a cutthroat competitor. Munster sets up Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, and you think, oh, well, that's it. That's the match winner there. But they weren't quite done. For some unknown bizarre reason, Lindsay Collins dunks on Tedesco on top of his club captain's head, gets up above him, which is quite fitting given that we were in Adelaide. That sort of, I mean, it's not often that we get some sort of specky like that, and then gets the ball away. Munster with the match winner. Like, that was just what, you know, and Billy spoke about the Queensland spirit and all that sort of stuff, but that was just bedlam in the last 7 minutes that all of a sudden changed the entire complexity of the game. Boys, you were there. It looked like a bit of a slippery night. There was some footing issues. You know, like, it wasn't the worst result in the world. So, Blues fans, if you're waking up, I know it feels heavy. I know it feels grim. It wasn't the end of the world. Queensland, though, they're cock-a-hoop. Let them have it. We'll take the game two to Queensland. And you know, there's going to be a lot of water under the bridge between now and then. Of course, you'd think that Latrell Mitchell comes back in. Boys, would you have Tevita Pengai back in? Is that one of the changes you'd make? And I'll throw Hines into that equation. How do you best utilise him if Appy's going to play the 80?
Well, that's the discussion we're having this morning about Nico, and the discussion we had when he was named as 14. You know, how do you bring him into the game? How's he going to be used? Appy got through a power of work last night. Looked like he could get through the 80. But again, he wasn't really threatening out of dummy half. So do you want your dummy half to be threatening, rather than just being that workaholic? So you might have to look at maybe, you know, bring in another hooker, so to speak. Because I reckon Cookie last night, there were opportunities for Appy to run. He didn't run. But I reckon Cookie would have picked it up and gone through the middle of that Queensland ruck. And that could have created some space on the edges for New South Wales. But one of the things for mine, Vonnie, was how disjointed they were early in New South Wales. Or in fact, the whole game. Most of the time when they had the ball, they looked clunky, never really built a lot of pressure. There was no sort of fluency with their attack.
Yeah, I had a quick look at the actual form of each individual just before we went on air last night. Teddy down on his own form. Like, he's an elite player, but you just expect, oh, that's James Tedesco. He'll just, you know, go back to be you know, a powerful fullback that we're used to seeing. Tom Trbojevic had one good game leading into this. Josh Adokar literally has had one game in the last 2 months and he's icing his ankle around the clock. Cleary and Luai, they've been off and on. The Panthers, and that's a barometer for the Panthers really all season. Yes, they can put on these major scores. Luai had a couple of good games leading into this, but don't forget everyone was calling for Nico Hines to replace him at six and saying, you know, you've got to put someone better beside Cleary for at that origin level. Appy has been toiling hard and you know, really learning and stretching himself in his leadership for the West Tigers, because God knows, up until a few weeks ago, they were having a bludger of a season. And then all of a sudden, that competition turned around. They've got a few results and they're up and about. But Appy, you know, he's at the West Tigers now. He doesn't have that instant hit with maybe his six and seven that he would usually do. So, and I think, you know, Payne probably didn't have enough minutes. I think he's one of the best players we've got in this competition. But he wasn't that almighty, all-encompassing, fearsome forward that we have seen him. And, you know, the Blues already flagged this. They said, we don't want to be bullied by Queensland. And they were bullied by people like Reuben Cotter, who just in his second State of Origin game, again played the full 80 minutes, was man of the match, and just, you know, continues to prove that when he pulls on that Maroons jumper, even though the Cowboys have really been nowheresville and doesn't look like turning around anytime soon, that he can step up into that arena. So I think we were expecting that switch to come from all those champions, and especially coming off that World Cup, we know what they can do on a representative level. It just didn't work. And yeah, you're right, the clunkiness is not concerning. It's a question, because there really is no straightforward answer why. You've all won premierships together. You've won World Cups together. What's the problem?
Yvonne Sanson from Fox League joining us. And Vonnie, as far as Queensland is concerned, the legend of Billy Slater, this time the coach, grows.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, he was really honest. In that post-match press conference, he just said they just went after that game with the 10 minutes to go, and it wasn't overly smart. He was the first one to say that. They're going to have to smarten up big time for game two. But it was just that guts and determination that he expected of his team. And on the inside of their jerseys, they've got the inscription from the legend Dick Tosser Turner just saying, do your duty. And that's just all about that greater sense of purpose for your state. And that's all the talk and the buy-in and the promises that they make to each other every time they go into camp. And we haven't talked about Reece Walsh. And given all the focus and, you know, all the chatter saying that they're going to target him, we're going to go after him, he's Queensland's only debutant, we're going to make sure that he has a rough night in his first game of Origin. I thought he was sensational. He stood up into the occasion. He's an absolute star. He's building foundations to his game. Even though he was in the squad a couple of years ago, I think he's far superior player in every regard now, 2 years into it. I'm so glad that he was able to really step forward and enjoy his time in a Maroon jersey. But yeah, you're right. Billy Slater just has that magic touch, as he did with the player. You know, it's just, he's just got that, he's the Midas man. And now we're seeing it as a coach as well. So, you know, let's not get started on coaches and who's going to take over Melbourne and Roosters and Dragons. But yeah, look, Billy Slater's doing an amazing job for Queensland.
Oh, we'll get to the Dragons. I'm sure that the other half, well, I know he had quite a bit to say about it on his on his radio program yesterday, which a couple of our listeners have actually referenced on the text line, but we will get to the Dragons.